two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It's 7 o'clock on Utah's Morning News. I'm Maria Shalaya, sitting in today for Tim and Amanda. KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report. The Davis School District is apologizing this morning after a Justice Department inquiry found serious and widespread incidents of racial harassment. KSL News Radio's Dan Bama says the district has settled the case and promises to do better.
Black students said they were frequently called the N-word and harassed when their classes taught lessons about slavery. KSL.com reports Asian American students were also targets of harassment and discrimination. Chris Williams with the Davis District told KSL-TV they're sorry it happened.
Any student who comes to our schools feeling like this is not a place I want to be is not our goal.
The district will take a number of steps to address the problems, including creating a new department to handle complaints. It will also look at student discipline to make sure it's applied fairly. Dan Bomas, KSL News Radio.
The man accused of shooting and killing University of Utah football player Aaron Lowe is expected in court this morning. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly is live with the details. Heather?
Well, Maria, Book in Book is scheduled to appear at 9 a.m. for a detention hearing. He faces charges of aggravated murder and attempted murder, and a judge is expected to rule if Book should be held in jail without bail. We learned last week Aaron Lowe was killed over a parking spot in Sugar House, and Book is accused of shooting Aaron several times and critically injuring Lowe's girlfriend, who was with him at the time. Live, Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
Students at colleges across the country will participate in a memorial walk honoring the life of Lauren McCluskey. McCluskey died 3 years ago today when a man she had previously dated murdered her outside her college dorm at the University of Utah. Today, the University of Utah, Utah State, SUU, and over 30 other colleges across the country will walk to remember Lauren and raise awareness for domestic violence and campus safety.
The search for Brian Laundry. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
A lot of questions remain this morning in the Brian Laundry and Gabby Petito case after investigators used dental records to confirm remains found in Florida were those of Laundry. ABC's Andrew Dimbert begins our team coverage.
The month-long search ended Wednesday when Laundry's parents led authorities to his remains. Chris and Roberta Laundry joined the search at a nature preserve near their home in an area they thought Brian may have went, but was previously underwater. According to their attorney, Chris Laundry found a bag belonging to Brian off one trail. Law enforcement then located Brian's backpack, then his remains.
The latest discovery in the case comes almost 2 months after Gabby Petito was first reported missing. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe reviews the events of the case and continues our team coverage.
Petito and Laundry began a cross-country van trip in June. In August, police in Moab responded to a call after someone saw the couple arguing outside Arches National Park.
We drove by and a gentleman was slapping the girl.
Who was slapping her?
No charges were filed and the couple was told to separate for the night. They then resumed their trip, posting more videos. On September 1st, Laundry returned home to Florida alone. 10 days later, Petito's family reported her missing. Laundry then told his family he was going for a hike in a nature preserve and disappeared, and Gabby's body was found a week later. Amy Kobabe at KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. One crew member is dead, another injured after a shooting on the set of a movie in New Mexico, and the alleged shooter is actor Alec Baldwin. ABC's Alex Stone has the latest.
What was loaded in the prop gun is a big question today. The sheriff in Santa Fe County, New Mexico, is confirming the gun was fired by Alec Baldwin. The call came in of a shooting on the set of the Western movie Rust. The movie's director of photography is dead. The director of the movie is injured and getting treatment. Pictures of Baldwin reportedly after the shooting show him appearing to be distraught. Witnesses are being interviewed. The sheriff says the investigation is open and active. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Taylorsville police have arrested a man after a short chase through a neighborhood overnight. Taylorsville Sergeant Amanda Marriott says the chase never reached high speeds.
Kind of circled around and we ended up using the pit technique to stop the vehicle.
Sergeant Marriott also says they believe the vehicle was stolen. Developing news on KSL News Radio, firefighters in Tooele County are fighting a fire this morning in West Canyon in Grantsville. We are still working on details of the size of the blaze and how it may have started. As soon as we know more, we will bring it to you. First look traffic on the 7 o'clock report. Here's Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
And traffic looking good on I-15 thus far in Salt Lake and Davis County. Still have just a tiny bit of northbound delay in Weber County as you leave North Ogden heading up towards Willard Bay because of some lane restrictions. But everything else looking pretty good right now. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 7 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time is 7:05. Breaking news on KSL News Radio. Utah's monthly unemployment report has just been released. And joining us live on the KSL Newsline is Department of Workforce Services Deputy Director Nate McDonald. And Nate, what's the report telling us this morning?
Well, our unemployment rate came in and dropped a little bit. We're at 2.4%, which is just incredible right now that we have such a low unemployment. And we expect that to be one of the lowest unemployment rates in the nation. And that's really...
Go ahead, Nate. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's really good news. And the other big number is that we're at 3.4% job growth. And there's only two states in the nation right now that can really tout of having positive job growth, having their job growth being back positive or back at the level of pre-pandemic levels. That's Utah and Idaho. So those are two really good numbers.
Why are we doing so much better than the rest of the country?
You know, it's there's a lot of factors in there. You know, one of them is location. You look at one of the things that the pandemic has really brought on is this ability to telework. And, you know, Utah and Idaho, the mountain areas we live in, it's always been a place people have wanted to live, but could they always live here? You add into this dynamic that you can now telework. It's now an acceptable part, and many jobs are offering it. You're seeing a lot of people that are able to move to Utah and telework, and also a lot of jobs that have moved to being telework that have done quite well. And so those are just a couple reasons why we're seeing both Utah and Idaho doing very well right now.
Nate, so many industries still struggling to get workers. I'm assuming that's still the case in the state of Utah.
Well, what we're seeing right now is a really tight labor market and that the employers are having a hard time finding labor. We've gone back. We were saying this before the pandemic, that it's a job seekers market and employers were having to be more creative to do more things to attract and retain employees. And we're right back to that situation. And employers are having to do more, be more creative. But here's the one thing that we want to get out there. There's one area where we aren't back to pre-pandemic levels, and that's with our labor force participation rate. And what that means is we're just slightly below what we were before the pandemic, and it means that there are some people who haven't quite returned back and are looking for work. And that's what we want to see improve. That's where we know that we can get more people. So really that message out there, because there are so many jobs available, to that person who hasn't come back yet, now's the time to come back. We have jobs available. There are opportunities. Employers are looking for you.
And Nate, what does this mean headed into the holiday season?
Well, we anticipate that we're going to see, you know, the trade, transportation, retail industries are going to pick right back up. And they're doing well right now, but they're going to continue to just do better. And those employers are going to need to find people. And so there's going to be great opportunities in that industry.
Nate, appreciate your time. Thanks so much this morning.
Thank you.
That is Department of Workforce Services Deputy Director Nate McDonald. Vaccine booster shots have cleared another major hurdle, with the CDC advisory panel unanimously recommending boosters from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. The panel also says data shows it's safe to mix and match the various vaccines.
It's very safe to do whatever set of vaccines you got first. You can get a different vaccine as a booster, and it's going to work fine.
Dr. Ashish Jha with the Brown University of Public Health says millions of Americans are now eligible for boosters starting this weekend. Triple Team Traffic, it's sponsored by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Let's check any slowdowns. Here's Andy Farnsworth.
Well, thankfully, there haven't been very many of those yet, especially as you get close to Salt Lake City. Out of Tooele on I-80, traffic a little bit heavy. It's actually going into Tooele County, so westbound 80 just before the 201 merge, a little bit of a slowdown right now. SR-36, some backups only minor in Stansbury Park, and no I-15 delays between Draper and Salt Lake City in either direction. Aubrey?
Well, if you're traveling northbound I-15 up by Willard Bay, they do have a little bit of construction slowdowns there. They're trying to get it all back open to one lane, to three lanes. One lane is open right now. If you're traveling southbound I-15 between Ogden and downtown Salt Lake City, there's no delays there yet. Starting to fill in a little bit, though. Eric?
In Utah County, I-15 is rolling along at normal speeds, 22 minutes from Springville to Point of the Mountain. Don't have any accidents reported on the city streets as well. That's also in good shape down south. If you're going out to Heber City and the Wasatch Back, no trouble through Provo Canyon. Likewise, I-80 out to Park City, no difficulties there. Any hour services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, already known for the care they take to keep your homes clean and safe. To learn more, Google Any Hour Services or anyhourservices.com. I'm Eric Butler in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. Here's Grant Wayman with the hourly forecast on the 7 o'clock report.
Clear skies this morning, 43. A few high clouds at noon, up 63. Sunshine, and with a few afternoon clouds, 70 degrees, though, at 4 p.m. And it backs down to right about 60 at 7 p.m., mostly clear skies. Generally forecast, I'm Grant Wayman, KSL Weather Center.
A bit nippy, 45 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. Queen Elizabeth is back home again. After spending Wednesday night into Thursday morning in a London hospital, the Queen is 95 years old.
The Queen is back at Windsor Castle. We don't know exactly why she went into the hospital. Buckingham Palace is always very tight-lipped about Her Majesty's health, but we do know it was a very short stay. She was last seen hosting a reception on Tuesday night at Windsor Castle, after which she was told by her doctors that she should get some rest, so that is what she did. The Palace has told ABC News that she went into the hospital for some, quote, preliminary investigations, and that she is in good spirits. I think it's really important to say that a source told ABC News on Tuesday that this is not COVID-related.
That is ABC's James Longman reporting from London. KSL Sports, we have some Friday night college football in Logan tonight. Colorado State Rams have traveled to the Cache Valley to take on the Aggies in a Mountain West showdown. Tonight's game kicks at 7:30. The Utah Utes have traveled to Corvallis to face the Oregon State Beavers tomorrow night at 5:30. The Utes are looking to continue a three-game winning streak and remain undefeated in conference play. The BYU Cougars looking to get back into the win column as they face their fourth Pac-12 opponent of the season on Saturday. Cougars are facing the Cougars of Washington State. BYU quarterback Jaron Hall says they are not looking back at the last two games. Instead, they are looking forward.
Short memory. Just moving on, you know, from Monday's practice till now, it's been everything focused on Washington State. You know, it's as if nothing happened the last week or the last 2 weeks.
The Cougars are 5-2 on the season. The Washington State team has been going through their own turmoil, with the head coach and several assistants being fired for not getting vaccinated. The game kicks at 1:30. We have extended pregame coverage here on KSL News Radio. That is starting at 9 a.m. And Greenhouse Lovers, the Greenhouse, will be back next week when there's a later game for BYU. Flight attendants need more rest, according to federal regulators. ABC's Derry Albinger has the story.
Coffee, tea, or Z's? The FAA wants to give flight attendants an extra hour of rest between shifts. It's a change that Congress approved in 2018, but that the Trump administration never put into effect. The agency says flight attendants should get 10 consecutive hours of rest between shifts. The proposal doesn't change the current 14-hour limit on their workday. Flight attendants lobbied for the change. The airline industry opposes it. profit. Trade group Airlines for America says all those extra hours will cost airlines nearly $800 million over the next decade. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Trending this hour on the 7 o'clock report, DJ supergroup Swedish House Mafia is announcing a new global tour. The group has disbanded or had disbanded in 2013, but eventually got back together for a 2018 performance. They officially reunited earlier this year. The music group also featured in a new song by The Weeknd. KSL News Time 7:15. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
a man accused of killing U of U football player Aaron Lowe is due back in court today. A judge will decide if Book Him Book should be held with or without bail for aggravated murder charges. I'm KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly.
Second, the Davis School District is promising changes after it settled a case with the U.S. Department of Justice over claims of racial harassment. Third, a check of your drive. It's sponsored by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Here's Andy.
Traffic on I-15 is still in a little bit slow shape up north near Willard Bay, but otherwise the freeway looks good between Brigham City and Santaquin. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
Partly cloudy, we're up to 70. I'm Grant Wayman, KSL Weather Center.
We're up a degree, 46 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. Time now for KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The director shot on the set of Alec Baldwin's latest film in an accident that left another crew member dead is out of a New Mexico hospital. ABC's Jason Nathanson has the latest.
Director Joel Souza no longer in the hospital after being injured in an accidental shooting on the set of the movie Rust, a shooting where authorities say a prop gun fired by Alec Baldwin killed 42-year-old cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Actress Frances Fisher, one of the co-stars of the movie, tweeting that Souza had left the hospital in New Mexico after being in intensive care. It's not yet clear exactly how the accident happened or why Baldwin would have been pointing a prop gun in the direction of crew members.
Pfizer says child-sized doses of its COVID-19 vaccine are safe and almost 91% effective at preventing infections in kids age 5 to 11. The FDA is going to review Pfizer's submission for child vaccines next week. It could be available at the end of the month or in early November. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky tells ABC News.
We are actively working with pediatricians' offices to make sure that we are ready to go should that regulatory approval and the CDC recommendations come forward.
CDC Thursday gave the green light to boosters for Moderna and Johnson & Johnson's vaccines for all eligible groups, also allowing for the mixing and matching of vaccines. President Biden shined a light Thursday night on the ongoing negotiations over spending proposals. He said his proposed 12 weeks of paid family leave has shrunk to 4. Free community college has been eliminated. President also told CNN that Senator Joe Manchin has blocked clean energy legislation.
Joe Manchin's argument is, look, we still have coal in my state. You're going to eliminate it eventually. We know it's going away. We know it's going to be gone. But don't rush it so fast that my people don't have anything to do.
Buckingham Palace confirmed Queen Elizabeth spent Wednesday in a hospital for what it called preliminary investigations. The 95-year-old is now home. You're listening to ABC News.
Time now for the KSL In-Depth. The price of gasoline is at a 7-year high. ABC's Gio Benitez reports, for one California town, that means they are paying more than $7 a gallon.
These high gas prices are expected to stick around through Thanksgiving, possibly even longer. Gorda, California. This is the town's only gas station, and it's selling regular unleaded for $7.59 a gallon, premium at nearly $8.50. Now, California as a whole is seeing the highest gas prices in the country. Now, the national average right now is at $3.38 a gallon, and it is still going up. These are the states seeing the biggest jumps right now, Ohio topping the list. Now, if you're wondering why the price of crude oil is up, those hurricanes this summer really made an impact, the gas shortage overseas, and of course, more people on the road. Now, the president said last night that he doesn't expect these gas prices to start dropping until 2022.
Wow. AAA says right now the average price of gas here in the Beehive State is more than 30 cents higher than the national average at $3.69. The report shows the highest prices are in Daggett County at $3.97 a gallon. KSL News Time, 7:19. Triple Team Traffic sponsored by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Things getting a little heavy out there in the traffic, Andy?
They are a little bit busier. Yeah, definitely. I-80 coming over from the airport, as a matter of fact, a little bit slow as you go underneath I-215's west belt. But for the most part, it's a Friday morning, which means even the busier spots for a Friday are still lighter than they would be on a regular weekday, including I-15, which is filled in a little bit volume-wise going up through Midvale and Murray, but yet to see any actual backups. Looks like maybe some road work slowing you on 45th South, though, as you head towards I-15 from the west side of the freeway. Aubrey?
Well, things are looking really good if you're traveling I-15 from Ogden into downtown Salt Lake City. The earlier slowdowns near Willard Bay have gotten a lot better, and it looks like things are back open there. If you're on Highway 89, Legacy Parkway, both of those look great. Eric?
I-15 in Utah County, northbound, southbound, looking good. City streets still filling in. If you're on the 215 East Belt, that's also in good shape heading up to Foothill. Pride Transport, a family-owned trucking company for over 40 years, is hiring Class A CDL drivers, the best pay, equipment, and support. Call 1-800-GO-PRIDE or pridetransport.com. Eric Butler in the KSL Traffic Center.
I didn't know Aubrey had a baby at home. See the things you learn in a pandemic? Let's get a look at your 7-day forecast. Here's Greg. Grant Wayman.
Warmest day for a while, 70, partly cloudy. Tomorrow it starts to cool and we got rain coming. 55 is the high, clouds on Sunday with more showers later in the day. The high Sunday is 60. More rain on Monday, it warms up to 65. And then more rain Tuesday, colder with a high of 52. Even a few showers hanging around Wednesday, partly cloudy 54. And then 58, partly cloudy on Thursday. I'm Grant Wayman, KSL Weather Center.
Few clouds, 46 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. Checking some of the other temperatures around the state. It looks like Ogden at 46, Provo at 43, St. George, 48. Moab, though, it's cool, 36 degrees.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.